eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. It can be used on hard, non-porous surfaces like the kitchen, bathroom, and other areas in your home. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, pal. It's episode 401. We broke the 400 barrier.
Yeah.
We are back. But this week, it's just me, Brad Banjoy, and Matt DeAndrea, because Aaron is lost in the wilderness somewhere between Alaska and Canada, and he barely could get a text through to us, and he did get through and said there's no way he's going to be able to communicate. So
yeah, it's good. He's having a good time.
I'm jealous. I can't take that much time off at a single.
I think he's going to come home and just be like, it was a good trip, but it was a long trip. Like, it was.
Maybe he'll never come home. Or maybe he'll come home and become the bear whisperer.
I think he already is.
Yes, exactly. So, Matt, last week we wrapped up the 400 celebration, and we only made it up to episode like around 150 or something like that. And yeah, we threw down some great facts. We had some great stories. What do you remember about it?
Nothing. I don't remember any of it.
No,
a lot of shows for sure. I think when we were wrapping up, we were kind of running through and just reminiscing about some of the shows. And I'm not exactly sure where we left it. Somewhere like around Richard Rawlings hitting the wall.
I think that's exactly where we hit.
I think that's where we pretty much wrapped up.
400 hit the wall alongside Richard Rawlings.
Which is funny because Roadkill Nights, I think, is starting right now as we're recording this. Like, it's heading into that weekend. And Woodward Dream Cruise and Monterey
is coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up as well. So, just some good times. I'm trying to think of what we did kind of after that. Was maybe it was the first time we went to Luft, to Lufka Cult.
We did.
Was it the Anawalt Lumber one?
Yep, that was the one out at Ganal Lumber, which was so cool. I dug that one because they built those stacks of lumber and those cool little standees that they put the cars on. It was really neat.
Well, I think maybe I went to one in like downtown LA, which might have been the first one. And then
was there one before that?
Yeah, there, I believe there was, but the lumber yard,
or was it down by the boat docks, like the shipping area down in
San Pedro? I didn't go to San Pedro. I thought there was, well, that's a good question. I mean, not to get into the history of Luft, but I think the first like mini version was right here in Venice at Deus Ex Machina. It was at the little retail store.
Right. I remember that. So
yeah,
they had a mini. And
yeah, that was just kind of like a car show with Patrick Long and Patrick Dempsey showed up and some Porsche guys. And then there was like downtown LA, which was cool, somewhere off of, out of downtown LA.
And Howie Idelson we had on the show. And it's funny because Howie's one of the founders of Luft, and it's, we go way back. I mean, back to BMX days when my buddy Bob Harrow had a company called Gearbox, which was for kart racing, go-kart racing. And Howie was a big kart racer and a champion. And he invited me up to Santa Rosa to drive shifter carts with him. And then later, when he was a graphic artist, I hired him to work on a catalog for me at Boyd's. So it was weird. But then we hadn't talked for years, and now he's doing that. So it was cool.
Yeah. Anyway, cool event. But the Lumberyard was where it really kind of got turned up a notch, right?
They started really kind of making it more of an art type of an exhibit. It was very curated, let's say.
And that's where I first saw Bruce Canepa's, like, his first 959 Porsche, like, I guess we're saying reimaginated cars. I'm not quite sure what the term is now, but basically his hot rod version, right? His restomod version of the 959, which apparently he's making quite a few of and selling quite a few of. And I think he's thinking about doing like a 935 version, like taking a 935 racing car and turning it into a killer street car. And I only know this because Adam Kroll had just popped up there. He was doing live shows or something in the area, and he's like, I'm going to go visit Canepa. And Canepa was like, let me tell you all the ideas I have for stuff. Yeah. And I was like, all you need is a client with a big fat paycheck to come in there and go, yeah, I like that idea. I like that idea.
That.
Yeah.
But, you know, episode 184 was a big one for you.
Yeah, and I don't exactly know what the timeline is on that, but I feel like there's some Fox Body information in there. Maybe it was the first Cobra that I bought.
Update on Matt's Fox Bodies.
Yeah, so I, you know, the red car, I think I bought the black car first, or I bought the red car first. Now I don't even really know.
What's the one that's the black still car in pieces? The one that was over at Ray's.
That that's the black car.
I believe you got that first.
That one was first.
Yeah.
You know, I paid $7,000 for that car out of New York and brought it here. And that one went to the SEMA show with the red car in like 2016. And the red car I paid like $13,000 for. You know, now these...
Which would be a steal today.
Yeah. Now these cars are crazy. You know, listen, when they were $7,000, you're like, I'm going to cut them up and I'm going to build them for the SEMA show. And now I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But anyway, that's why I bought the SAC Mustang. It's covered behind me now. But the Shelby car I got just because I was like feeling like should I have one of these that is unmolested? And I was like, but I already have 93 Cobras. So why don't I get something that I liked that I knew about? And I'd always check eBay and places online for years and years for the SAC car. And finally, when one popped up, I got that car. But that, two 93 Cobras, although not finished, both went to SEMA in 2016. And what a pain in the ass getting two cars that don't run to a SEMA show.
Getting just two cars to SEMA is a task. I've done
is a pain in the ass. The black one was because we were doing stuff with Tokiko shocks.
Remember that? Yeah.
That we brought that unibody shell with the Coyote engine and had the Borla 8-stack injection on it. It had the Sparco seats, Aeromotive fuel system, fuel tank, independent rear suspension from an 03 Cobra, maximum motorsport suspension, but just the unibody, no fenders, no dash, no doors, nothing on it. So we can show off the suspension pieces.
What year was that?
2016.
Okay.
2016.
Now you're happy. You've been driving it for years and it's, you know, it's just
the black car came back right after SEMA and was put in Bodie Stroud's lot. And it's been there ever since, completely untouched. Except we took the seats out of it and they're sitting in his office. Because, you know, when we jammed, if you remember this story, is the seats, Sparco was just unveiling their carbon fiber SPX seats, I believe. And I went over there and I saw them, the prototypes at their headquarters in Irvine. And they said, we're going to bring these to SEMA. It's going to be a debut for the seats. And I was like, cool. I want to put a set in this car and show them off. There's going to be no bodywork on the car. And I said, but I want a blue leather. I want kind of like a gray blue leather. And they're like, they can only recover them in Italy at the factory. We can't get it done in time. And I don't know how we got this through, because Sparco is not really known for doing this type of custom stuff. Sparco USA here, great, great company. But the parent company in Italy is like very conservative on what they sponsor and what they pay for and stuff like that. So somehow they made it work where Sparco's factory was doing OE seats for a bunch of car manufacturers. And at the time, I believe Alfa Romeo might have been 4C Alfa Romeo, the little sports car.
Right.
They were building seats for a bunch of those cars, and they went over there and they pulled some of this blue gray leather off of the Alfa Romeo assembly line, covered my seats, quickly shipped them here, and we put them in and brought it over to SEMA. And later I found out that they had to like call Alpha and go, there's going to be a delay on the blue gray seats.
Yeah. it's funny because it parallels a story of my Mustang, the Black Rose that I built for SEMA.
Yeah.
A car you tried to buy at one time.
I did try to buy that car.
And, but I was working with Recaro, and I had already done my truck where they sent us the top of the line Recaro seats with heaters, air conditioners, all the lumbar, everything.
Yeah.
And we had recovered them in a cowhide for the Ford Super Truck that I built. Then the next year I was doing the Jaguar and the Mustang, and was working with Recaro again. And I called him up and I said, hey, we're going to do this. And they said, are you going to recover them again? And I said, yeah. And they said, you know what? You guys did a great job. It was beautiful. However, we would rather do it so we can emboss it with Recaro and everything like that. So we sent all these hides to Recaro, and they recovered our front seats and the back bolsters. All we had to do were the door panels and the dash. The Mustang, we didn't do anything on the dash, and the Jaguar, we didn't either. It was just amazing. I mean, they had embossed it. They did everything. It was so cool. Right. Even sent them the horn button, and they embossed the airbag thing in it and everything. It was so cool.
Were they able to do that at their factory in Detroit?
Yes. Yeah, they did it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Sparco seats had to come from
Italy. Yeah, they had to come.
Yeah, that was a little more complicated, but I like that Recaro did that. I like that they.
Oh, it was awesome! It was great to work.
Yeah, I would like to have gotten that car. That was a cool car. That Mustang.
I wish I still had that car, but we can't get them all. We know that. But yeah. Hey, let me give you one of our facts from the first 400 shows. The fastest dog was George the dog.
George
the dog that's no longer with me, but. George went 140 miles an hour with me, secured in a seat, safely secured in a seat. But so I always called him the world's fastest schnoodle. So yeah. 140 miles an hour.
George loved the UPS guy.
He loved cars, too. He was such a ham bone. If you look back on my old feed, and I would get him to pose with every car I drove, and he would do it. Fantastically, it'd be like, sit right here, George. He'd look up with his chin up. He'd look so proud. But I miss that guy. Episode 190. Episode 190 was special because it was Aaron. And it was one of Aaron's adventures. Do you remember what that was?
The Isettas. He went to go get the isettas. Yeah, he went to.
Remember, he called us up and he goes, "Hey, there's some guy in Texas, and he's got all these isettas, and he's going to let me have them." And we're like, "Where are they?" And he goes, "They've been sitting in a field for the last 20 years or something." He goes, "But you know, it's Texas. It's not that bad down there, you know." But he flew down with his wife. They rented a U-Haul, and what I remember about it was we had him on the show. I don't think you were on that episode, but I remember saying, "So, Aaron, I'm excited. I want to hear about your adventure coming back from Texas with the isettas." And he said, "It took a long time." And I was like, "Yeah, but what are all the details?" There was nothing good about it. He never told us a story. He just told me how it was miserable driving the U-Haul, towing the trailer. The isettas kept moving, and he said it was just a miserable trip. So it was kind of like that wah, wah, wah moment, you know?
Just, yeah, but he's got them. They're sitting there.
Got them. They're still sitting there. The bears like to rest in them.
Yes, and there was, like, all the snow piled up, and I thought it was going to break the windshield, but it actually managed to get the snow off before.
He was out there with that heater.
Yeah. That's what he was doing with it. Aaron.
Okay.
Aaron's antics are awesome.
I know. Episode 197 was an adventure that you and I went on. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Down in Orange County. What is that big ass hangar we were in?
It was the blimp hangar in Tustin.
Yeah.
In World War II, they stored blimps in there, and they're national historic landmarks.
Just a cool site that I didn't really know about. And I've driven past it. And then now that we've actually been there, I'm like, oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
But it was the unveiling of the C8 Corvette. And we kind of went into it not really knowing what to expect. And, you know, as we know now, cool car, just a great unveiling, cool car.
We got
a lot of history. First, they showed some history and stuff there. Yeah.
And there were a lot of people there. And the thing, you brought up the blimp hangar. So I'll mention it for those who haven't ever seen them. They're these ginormous buildings. I don't even know how tall they are. I mean, maybe 100 feet tall. I mean, I know that sounds like, oh, come on, they're not. But they are, because the blimps had to fly in them.
Yeah.
They've been used as sound stages in film, because they're a half mile long, and the blimps used to fly in. There's even been things like going way back where they used them, where they flew planes through them for like dramatic films and like that. But the thing that I remembered about that unveiling was they used a combination of actually driving the cars and then some like 3D projection. And if you remember, they had that projection screen, and they actually had the cars coming down the, you know, down the blimp hangar. And yeah, then at one point they stopped it, and the 3D screen projected it, like almost hitting the audience, you know, like sliding to a stop and being there on the stage. It was pretty dramatic.
Yeah, it was a cool presentation. The launch of that car was actually a pretty cool launch, a great Southern California launch event.
A C8 Corvette.
Yeah. I think, and not just a press event. It was, you know, like Craig and Carolyn Jackson were down there, and you know, a bunch of people, clients and media, it was kind of fancy too. Like, it was.
And do you remember we got lucky because we were running a little late? And we came walking in. They had all these food trucks out front. We missed the food, but we got there late. And as we were walking in, Craig and Carolyn were walking in also.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Brad, Matt, how are you? And we're like, good. And and Carolyn looks at us, go, are we late? I go, I think we are. We walked in, and the guy went, come on, follow me. And he took us, because it was completely, they had this surround area of bleachers.
Yeah.
It was stuffed. It was packed. So they took us to the side of the stage, and you, I, Craig, and Carolyn stood on the side of the stage with a few other people, and it was like everybody was looking at us, but we had the best seat in the house.
We did. And I, now that you're reminding me, I was like, I remember we had like a really good view of the stage. It was like, but I don't remember how we got it, how we got there. I was like, because we were late. Because we were late.
But the other thing was that after the presentation, for you Corvette enthusiasts, out in the other part of the area, they had all these Corvette, variations, but they also had the dioramas of where you could see all of the components and the exploded views. And for anyone who's a Corvette enthusiast, you would have loved it. I mean, and this reminds me, don't forget that our website at shiftandsteer.com does include galleries. And, if you go there, we have so many galleries that you can go there and see some of these events that we talk about, where we post, extensive photo galleries, not just a few on our Instagram page. But at one point, Matt did something. He went from being a Mustang guy, it's another one of our facts, he became a Fruck guy. And Matt became a Fruck guy. That's right. And a Ford truck guy. That was when you got your Lightning truck, your vintage Lightning truck.
Yeah, the 95.
And where did you find that one at?
Pacific Northwest. I think it was in Oregon someplace, not in Portland. He was outside the city. And I just chatted with a guy, kind of going back and forth on it. And what was interesting about the truck was it only had a couple of owners. And I think one of the original owners was somewhere in the Midwest, was a mechanic at a Ford dealership. And when that guy originally bought the truck, he just went to the Ford Motorsport catalog and ordered the supercharger.
Oh, really?
And it was a centrifugal supercharger. It was a Powerdyne supercharger, but for a minute it was in the Ford Motorsport catalog as a Ford Motorsport Powerdyne supercharger with an EO number.
It was
CARB approved. And so that supercharger, which is still on the truck now, has been on the truck for almost since it was new. I've had it rebuilt and done a few things on that supercharger. Powerdyne's not the best supercharger, but we rebuilt it, put new belts in it, new impeller. It got a little more performance out of it, vented the case so it doesn't have quite as much heat in the bearings. And hopefully it makes it a little bit more livable. But although I've done a handful of modifications to the truck, that engine is still stock because with the supercharger, because I've been building another engine, the Dart engine for it. But yeah, the truck is back there behind me. And
I can see it.
Chris Brown, Chris Brown, yeah. Car designer. We just finished up redoing the door handles, which he designed. We 3D printed a few variations and then we cut them out of billet and new mirrors that were all redesigned as well, designed by Chris. And they look fantastic and all now, we tried up a few variations 3D printed and he went back and, kind of pocketed the arms of it to make it a little bit lighter. And we came up with some solutions on how to make that happen. And I got to take the glass out to mount them again, but cool. It's a cool truck.
Episode 201 was kind of a bummer because we had to.
Yeah, big time bummer.
What's that?
Big time bummer.
Oh, yeah. Because we announced that Jesse Combs had been killed making a land speed world attempt.
Yeah.
Which they ended up awarding to her later on posthumously. But, it's funny because she, there's a lot of people that we lose and they don't stay in the lexicon. And Jesse has stayed around. People still talk about her, bring her up all the time because she made such an impact. And she was such a great person. I mean, we all got to know her. I got to know her. I met up with her and had conversations. And she was one of those people that was really happy to be in her shop, just making stuff, you know, and that was so cool.
Yeah, and going fast.
Yeah, and going
fast. When I went out to Thermal and drove the F1 car, the Lotus F1 car, Jesse was out there with me, and we had a bit of a laugh because they were like, the car is so complicated to start. We got to bring your guys in the drill with the big jack shaft and it's 4 feet long and you got to get to the back of the car. And they're like, so you only get a few laps, whatever you do, don't stall the car. And for whatever reason, you know, a handful of us were doing laps and I came in and was like, whew, that was fast. I was like, thank God I didn't stall it. And then Jessie was like right after me. And unfortunately, she stalled it. And she was so embarrassed that I get in the minivan and go out there and put the jack shaft on there and tell her to come in. And she's like, what the hell? And I was like, yeah, you missed the lap. But we had a good time out there.
That's cool. Yeah,
I had some nice moments with Jessie. She was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I had her on the show years ago when it was just Pete and I doing it, and mm-hmm. And this was on the radio show, and she said, yeah, I'll come by, and she pulled up on her motorcycle, you know, and it was the middle of summer. I remember it was hotter than hell, and she goes, yeah, it's a little warm out there today, but yeah, I had to come a long ways from Long Beach. I wasn't gonna work, you know that yeah. was who she was. It was great. She was real. Now, episode 202, a different kind of tragedy. Kevin Hart wrecked his car. This was all over the news. And you know what's weird? Episode 202, doesn't it seem like it wasn't that long ago?
Yeah.
It seems much more recent than that. But it was a big deal because when it happened, I think a lot of people that I talked to were a little worried that Kevin Hart being such a big superstar and everything, and that he hurt his back and maybe it was going to have some repercussions on the aftermarket, you know, and it really worked itself out.
You know, the media, unfortunately, the tabloid media, fortunately, did what they always do. And they kind of ran with this story pretty quickly before figuring out that Kevin Hart was not the one driving the car. So Kevin Hart was in the car and he owned the car, but he wasn't driving the car.
Right.
You know, so this isn't a blemish in his driving ability. And I can't speak to his driving ability, but yeah, he got hurt. People got hurt and the car got hurt. And Dave Salvaggio rebuilt the car, built a new car for him. And Kevin Hart on his own accord has gone, I believe, several times to the Radford Racing School, which was Bondurant, I think maybe at the time, with guys from Dodge and guys in Goldberg was out there and Salvaggio Design and all those guys. So yeah. And he's
kept
going, by the way, full steam ahead as a car collector, bringing cars, building cars, bringing them to SEMA, debuting some cool stuff.
And doing his TV show and showing up at Bear Jackson and everything. And I will say, we have not heard again about him getting in another car accident. So that's a good thing.
Well, that's a good thing. Maybe he drives his own cars now. Maybe he went the opposite of...
Or maybe his PR people go, we're not going to do that. You know, if you get in a fender bender, nobody needs to know. So, no, I think he drives his own cars now. So,
yeah.
Let's talk about some of the people that have been on the show. Like on episode 206, Ant Anstead came to the studio. If I remember right, he was filming that day for a show he was doing on his own about his cars that he was building. And he came by to be on the show as he had his cameras rolling. And episode 211, we had David Freiberger, who's a good buddy of ours. And David was on, as was Mark Trossel. And for those who don't know who that name is, Mark Trossel is head of design over at Dodge and, you know, does a lot of the cars that you know and love.
I think Trossel is the head of SRT now. So I think he runs the program.
So he's been around it for a long time. Episode 221. The James Hetfield exhibit at the Peterson. Were you there that night?
I wasn't there for the debut of that. I saw a couple of the cars at another event, but you went to that one.
Yeah, Michael and I went. Michael Anthony and I went. And cool event. They had the rooftop opened up for an after party. And it had great food, great drinks. And it was a really nice event. Really enjoyed it. And that Hetfield exhibit was supposed to go on and go to other museums and things like that. And I never heard any word of whether it did or not. Have you, Matt?
No, I don't recall.
It certainly hasn't been anything that was like really notable or talked about. Now we get into something that was pretty crazy. Everyone around the world was affected by this, and that was the pandemic. And in episode 225, Matt, do you remember sitting there? We were kind of like in awe because it was supposed to be the big, North American auto show and everything. And all of a sudden we hear that everything is being canceled and that they're not going to do this. And we were kind of like everyone, what? They're not going to do the big car shows? They're not going to have them? And we couldn't believe it at the time.
Yeah, just the industry event thrives on those media events, right? And those public unveilings, and then everything was shut down. SEMA was online. The SEMA show was online.
Yeah, that we had
the MPMC conference was online. Like everything was.
Well, if you jump to the next episode, 226, digital car shows are born. And that's when North American Auto Show, because they had all of the, think of all of the companies had their press, their debuts. They had to come up with something. So they started doing it digitally so they could get the information out there. But even bigger than that, we talked about the paper panic being the toilet paper panic. And
yeah, that's so silly.
That was crazy. It was like, what in the hell just happened? But that went on. But episode 229, again, we were like blown away when we found out that the Indy 500 was postponed. And then later when they said, we're going to do it, but without a crowd. It was just the cars racing, and that the whole world just kind of changed. And along with it, Touch It Safe was born on that episode.
Yeah, your little finger condoms.
To keep my employees busy and working, we developed Touch It Safe, which you and Aaron called finger condoms. And we sold a ton of them. And then they had to come out and say that it wasn't anything that you because nobody knew how this was being transferred initially. And everybody thought, well, if I'm touching ATM buttons or I'm going to the gas station. And so we developed these, packaged them, got them out on the market. And I will say I sold enough to get my investment back. But I still have them, everybody. If you want them, they're in my warehouse. And we'll sell them to you at a great discount because, you never know what you might need a finger.
We got to think of other things to do with them now. We got to reinvent the finger condom.
Well, when you're working on your car and you're spinning bolts and you don't want to get grease, there you go.
It's not a terrible idea. It's not a terrible idea to instead of putting on, full gloves or something like that
It was a crazy time, a crazy, crazy time. And you tell us about episode 230, where you drove through an MTLA in a Lamborghini.
I did. So like everything was so shut down and, but some of the car companies were like, well, we're still interested in doing press cars. And, we got the Lamborghini. I think it was the blue convertible. I think it was. And we kind of cruised around in that car for a bit, which was
which had to be fun because the roads were empty. It was the only time you're ever going to find LA roads empty.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I don't know where on the timeline it is, but when we had the fires and the fires were like right on the 405 by the Getty Museum. And
yeah, that was bad.
I was driving to the studio and both sides of the freeway were on fire. And it, and this, in with the fire and the cloud of smoke, although the road was open and they were dropping water, like with hoses and helicopters, like right on the sides of the freeway. And I drove through the freeway, which was open. I drove through it on the way to the studio, and it was like driving through a fiery tunnel. And I think I have like some crappy phone video of it or something, just trying to drive through going, this is nuts.
Like Escape this from is... LA.
Yeah, you it know? Totally felt that way. It totally felt that way. I didn't feel unsafe. Everyone was there doing their jobs, and it was, you know,
and they were on the hill fighting the fire, and they look down, and they go, look at that douche driving his Lamborghini through the fire. Yeah, look at him. He's really
yeah, it was kind of that. Yeah, it was kind of that. Although I was out there during the freeway closure thing, the 405 closure. I forgot what it was for. It was some kind of construction. The you know, they call
they were changing the bridge. Yeah.
Yeah. The change of the bridge, and you could get on it, but you can only go so far. And, yeah, there was a point where I was on it and I was like, this is nuts. This is like Night of the Comet where I'm driving. They're the only one on the road.
Nobody. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the strangest thing for those who didn't live here. You could literally get on the freeway at times and know you were the only one there. And that never happens. You can go out at 2 a.m. tonight, 3 a.m, 4 a.m. And there's traffic.
There's cars.
Which in any other city would be traffic. You know, it's.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. There's cars for sure. Yeah. And it's so weird that you're like, this can't be right. I'm doing something wrong. Like, or something really bad has happened. Like, I don't know what's going on. Right. Like
it was strange. It was strange.
Like I was just driving down the 405 going south, past LAX, and tons of traffic, and cops were in the carpool lane, moving people, get out of the carpool lane. And they had a caravan of SUVs, but I was like, I don't think there's like the president in town or, and the SUVs weren't like all black SUVs. And when one went by, I was like, it was just looked like normal people. And I had to make a guess, just a guess as to what this was. And I was like, who is that important to get a police escort with multiple SUVs recently going south on the 405 past LAX? I was like, I bet it's Taylor Swift going to a concert.
Yes.
She just did she's just did six huge shows at SoFi. I swear, I bet it's Taylor Swift getting shuffled to a concert.
Hey man, she brought $350 million to our economy here.
She changed the landscape of that area.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I remember during the pandemic, one of the weird, when you talk about weird things that you saw and things. And I brought it up on one of the shows, but I saw 3 Ford Raptors and they were white and they were all going, like I said, in the carpool lane, going alongside. And then everything started to slow down and I caught up with them and they had Homeland Security plates on them. And I was like, really? Ford Raptors that are Homeland Security? And they were headed somewhere. And I was like, that's weird. So
that's weird.
Yeah. But I took an advantage of the pandemic to try and get something handled that I'd been wanting to do for a long time. And on episode 235, I wound up flat broke. That's right. Flat broke down in the desert. And I talked about my adventure. I went out and got my big Hallett boat. And, you know, this thing, when it's on the trailer, it's like 40 foot long and it's, you know, it's a big boat. And I said, well, I'm going to go out. I'm going to bring it back in, have it detailed, put all new tires on the trailer and do the whole thing. And if you go back to episode 235, you can hear the whole detailed bloody story of it. But the tires that were on it at the time were brand new, but they'd sat in my garage out in Havasu in who knows 150 degree garage. Yeah. So they had dry rotted a little, and six axles on that trailer, and I lost almost every single tire at some progression to the point where I didn't have any spares left. I couldn't swap anything. And the card for that show is my trailer sitting on an exit in the middle of the desert where I had to unhook it. And I took two tires off it, put the lock, took the jack away, and put it on the ground, hoping that I could. And I flew 100 miles an hour into Palm Springs, had all the tires replaced, and got back there. And I was able to get into Palm Springs and back in like an hour and 20 minutes. And I'll never forget coming up over that hill and going, is it still there? Is it not
straight? Yeah.
Is it, you know, and it was sitting there and it was starting to get dark. I changed them all and made it home after that. But it was quite the adventure. Quite the adventure.
Right. But that's only the first half of that story, because the second half of that story is all this effort to get the boat home. You park the boat and the trailer in the driveway, and then some clown comes flying down the neighborhood street in his Tacoma.
It's pandemic, so people were doing nutso crazy stuff. Now, my driveway is long and it's deep, and I've got like a little courtyard with two garage doors in an L shape. So the boat was backed all the way up. The out drive with the propeller was about 6 inches from my garage door because I wanted it off the street. I wanted to still be able to pull into the U part of my driveway. And I'm at work. I'm on the podcast. I can't remember. Was I doing? Oh, I was doing someone else's podcast. My friend Stevie D. I was a guest on his. And Charlotte comes into my office. And she like slowly opens the door and she's like looking, and I look over, I go, cause I'm like live. He does his show live. And she's going, like, give me the timeout signal. And I'm like, you know, and she goes, and I'm mouthing 911 because that's what she did. 911. And I go, Stevie, I'm really sorry. There must be something really bad that happened for them to be interrupting me. Hold on 1 second. And I go, what's up? And she goes, you got to go. Something happened at the house. I go, something bad happened at my house. I got to go. And I literally got up and left the show. And and he said, it was the best thing ever. He goes, because everybody was messaging me on social media going, so what happened to Brad? He goes, I got so much. He goes, so you got to come back the next show and tell us. But I got home. Jeez. The entire neighborhood was out there. And this doofus had his pre-runner truck and decided that it was a great opportunity to take it out on the streets because not many people are out. But you don't do it in a neighborhood. You don't do it because people are out walking their dogs, walking with their kids. This guy hit, I'm told this by multiple witnesses. Now, understand, I'm three houses back from the intersection. He hit the intersection, which is crowned for drainage, at 80 miles an hour. He went into the opposing lane, didn't stop at the stop sign. There was a car stopped there, and hit it like a jump. Suspension load unloads. When he landed, what happens? It like bounced him.
Bounces, yeah.
He lost control. He bounced off one curb, went across the street, went through my neighbor's mailbox, went through their hedges that separate our properties. Then he went through a 24-inch power pole, knocked it off, went under it, uprooted. Now I'm talking about a tree that's 10 foot tall. He uprooted it, took it with him, because this thing had a big brush guard on the front and everything.
Yeah.
Hit my boat, punched a hole in it, bent the trailer literally in like about a 45-degree angle, and kept moving still. And the boat, the outdrive went through my garage door and just started slicing it like a can opener, took out the stucco, took out the gate between the two garages, and then started on the next garage door before it hit the house, moved the support in the house back 12 inches. And the only thing that stopped him, because he kept going, was I was getting ready to do some remodeling, and I had one of those 10-foot containers in my half circle driveway, to, you know, put all
like
the stuff
like
in.
like a metal trash container.
Yeah. Like not a trash container, one of those offshore like that you lock, you know.
You had a container. Yeah, right. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
He hit it, moved it 6 feet before he came to a stop. And it was a good thing, because if he hadn't hit that, he might have gone through the house. And my mom at the time, it would have been her bedroom. She would have been in there watching TV. And he balled that truck up, and he wouldn't get out of the truck for the police until his mommy got there. So, but yeah, disaster. Totaled my house, totaled my boat, uprooted trees and bushes, and it was a mess. The neighbors weren't happy either, because no one had internet, phone, or power for 12 hours. And power came back on in 12 hours. Those guys worked through the night, but phone and internet was out for like 2 days. And it was a
mess. What happened to that guy?
You know what? He had to write an essay about why you shouldn't be doing those types of things in a neighborhood. That's what happens today, Matt.
Is that true?
That is very true. Because my wife
ended
up on it and through the courts. He's supposed to pay some restitution, but we've yet to see anything. So
where's the boat? Insurance took the boat, and there's some.
We had to have it craned onto a semi-flatbed, and they took it out. Well, first they took it up to the boat company, who said, nope, there's no saving this because it's too heavily damaged. All the stringers had separated from the main hull. It doesn't look that bad, but when you get inside it, he showed me how every stringer, which for those of you who aren't boat people, the ribs of the boat had detached. So all the superstructure. So that was 3 years ago, July. It to this day is still sitting in the salvage yard and has not yet been auctioned. Dogs are here.
Dogs are here. Yeah, they are. They just ran in.
I saw tails.
Yeah.
But
so the boat you can't salvage, but I don't know, because I know for a while you were talking about just wanting to get the engine.
I want to get the engine because I had a $50,000 Paul Pfaff motor in that thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's got all roller cam, roller rockers. It's a beautiful motor, and I'd love to maybe change the cam or something and use it in the car, because it had less than 100 hours on it, which is nothing. And but there's two problems. One is the insurance company's never put it up for sale. The second thing is that the way it works, the trailer's unusable. And so the only way to remove it from that yard is to, again, have it craned onto a flatbed, which cost me $1,800. And it's like, if I could figure out a way to remove it, get it somewhere, pull the motor and the drive line out, and then, you know, trash the rest, that'd be one thing. But haven't yet figured out an easy way to do that.
So when they crane the boat out of your driveway onto a flatbed, you're saying they took the boat with the trailer all at one scoop?
Yes. They had huge, like 12-inch wide straps that they just slinged it all into a big sling with a chain, and they had to put it, and it barely fit on the semi-truck because it's got a very wide beam because it was an offshore type boat, and the trailer was maximum for what's allowed by law. So when you put it on the trailer, the tires are kind of hanging over a little bit, you know, and it's not easy.
Yeah.
I think the only
I feel like we're not to the end of this story. We're going to have to figure out how to get that engine or something.
Power to it. I thought maybe a portable welder. We go cut the front, you know, narrow part of the trailer off, and bring some beam with us and like do a little fabrication in the parking lot, enough to tow that thing somewhere, you know. And it sucks too, because my trailer was so nice. It was three axles. It was a custom made trailer with a swing back, what's called a swing back coupler. So basically, you know, the front of the trailer sticks out 6 feet, right? It had these large bolts and a large hinge. You could undo the bolts and swing the whole front of the trailer, the whole connector part of the trailer back so that you could back it into a shorter garage. And, you know, that was all really trick stuff, and it's all trashed now.
But I think you have kind of the right idea would be if you can somehow repair the trailer on site, bring some jacks, some jack stands, get it up, and do a little makeshift cutting and welding.
A hack weld job and, you know.
I mean, listen, a good welder and some creativity, you could probably get something to work, and then
dog leg down behind you for a little while, but
yeah.
Got new tires on it, Matt.
Well, I mean, they're 3-year-old tires.
Yeah, and it's been out in the sun all this time. I'll probably like have 4 or 5 blowouts on the way back to the house, you know.
But yeah, there's kind of a thought there, and listen, unfortunately, you know, the engine's been sitting as well, because I know when you had it and even were using the boat regularly, you'd have to go and check on the boat and fire it up and.
Oh, I had a guy that would come over and he would service the outdrive. He would, you know, if it'd been sitting too long, he'd drain the tanks so that the fuel didn't get weird, you know, and
yeah,
we would actually
come
drain
up and...
the tanks. I kept that boat in perfect shape. And now I just, I'm so distressed in that, you know, the teak floors and the interior and the billet steering wheel, everything's probably just, you know, destroyed from the sun, and think of all the rain we had, and they would not allow me to put the cover on it out there. They said because they had a lawsuit once where something was covered and they had a storm come up and the cover blew off, went across the freeway and caused an accident. So now they don't allow any covers at the salvage yard or at this holding yard. I'm like, geez.
Of course.
You know?
Of course. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it'll be more depressing to go see it now.
I know. It might be. But... So we're running.
Anyway, I know we're pushing on time for this week, but
let's run down a few things, highlights that people can go back and see. As we came out of during the pandemic, we went to Zoom, and we have continued in Zoom, but we began posting, and you can go to our website and find these where you can actually watch us do the show. We ceased doing that at episode 251 simply because of time. We didn't have, because I was the one doing the editing and posting it. And what people don't realize is it takes a tremendous amount of time to post it, you know, hours that I just didn't have. So up to 251, you can see us in video, and you may not want to see us in video. And Matt, I've got a fact for you. How many episodes of Shift and Stare are actually posted on our website?
I'm gonna guess all of them.
Well, how many would that be?
400.
You got it. As of last week, we have 400. Man, you nailed that. Nailed it. So let's go down. So Hertz went broke. We talked about that on episode 237. Episode 257, we remembered Eddie Van Halen and told a bunch of great stories about him and about his love of cars. Episode 260 was interesting because we talk about, we were still in pandemic at that time, kind of that weird flux time, and Barrett Jackson had a private auction in Scottsdale, and you had to be either a consignor or a buyer, but you had to be invited. And I was invited, and I remember being up there in the skybox, and it was like the freeways in LA. There was like 30 of us in the skybox. It was so weird. They had the same venue. They had everything, but like the vendor area was only like 10 people. And it was so weird. And, but it was cool. And they were able to sell a lot of cars. And I think a lot of people found out about online bidding at that auction, you know, a lot of their regular customers.
Yeah. After that, talking to companies like Gooding and stuff, and they said, oh, we did our auctions online. And they go, because of the pandemic, people that would normally go to an auction and wouldn't think to buy online or over the phone, you know, $1 million cars, like they were forced to if they wanted it. And that changed the landscape of online auction, of any auction.
Well, and that is really why Bring a Trailer just blew up, man.
And they launched their premium listings, and now they got the most expensive cars up there. I mean, not the most expensive, but they got really expensive cars. And Bring a Trailer went on to do, what, $1.2 billion in total sales in a year?
They did more than all the live auctions combined.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Crazy. Episode 270. Matt Cave.
Yeah, we got a Matt Cave. Matt Cave 1.0.
Yeah.
That's when we were starting to put together Bravago and got some space and grown it a little bit, got a little bit more space. And we've got, 20 or so pallets, about 50,000 cans of Bravago here. And I've got cars that I don't work on much.
When are you going to, now in episode 292, Bravago was born. You talked about it, told everybody. But I want to know, what episode are we going to hear that Matt wrapped the new Lightning in Bravago wrap?
It's certainly a way to make my accountant happy.
Yeah. Well, then you can write it off. You can go, well, that was it.
Yeah. Although I do use it. I've been down to Orange County a couple of times bringing cases of product down to our fulfillment house for our online sales. So it gets used for Bravago for sure.
Wrap it, then it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I gotta wrap it. That's a good point.
So episode 300, Bad Brad. I was invited to the Aunt Anstead invited me to the debut of his Lotus at Orange County.
Radford Motors, yeah. You basically went in your pajamas.
And it was a big deal. And I actually just posted on my Bradshaw Biz Instagram, on my Bradshaw Biz YouTube page. You should go there and check it out. I tell the story of how I did not know it was a black tie event. Why would you think in August, during the day, in Southern California, it would be a black tie event?
And the invitation said black tie event.
Oh, invitation. Come on, I don't read those things.
Everybody else do.
Okay, here's the thing. Ant had sent me a photo of him and his partners in black tie. And it said, I forget how they worded it, but they did it as a joke. And it was like them, like in a workshop wearing black ties. And I thought, oh, it's a joke. They're not really going to do black tie. So I found out as I pulled up and the valet in front of me was helping a woman get out who's in a sparkly gown, guys in a dark suit. I went, ah, crap. And I literally was in white. I could not have been. I had white leather shoes, a white sports shirt. And go there and listen to the story, because I give you all the bloody details. And it's called Own It, How to Own It on Bradshaw Biz on YouTube. But that was quite the thing. Episode 311, A Tradition Was Born. It's called Aaron's Bear Watch. This was when his cars got attacked. And ever since, we've been on Aaron's Bear Watch in Tahoe.
Yeah.
I remember when his cars got ripped apart.
Yes, that was
episode 337. Pal is born, and it's been a tradition ever since. Pal, hey, pal.
Well, I mean, Don Johnson probably did it in Miami Vice before you, and
but
then
not
maybe
on this show. Okay,
maybe Bruce Willis and Die Hard, but but way to bring it back. Everything from
we
that era is
back strong, and people. I love it when people like send me a text or a message online, and they go, "Hey, pal, thanks, pal."
Yeah,
that's the best. hey Matt, a quick fact we'll throw in here. How many energy drinks have I drank over the 400 episodes?
Well, you mean while we're recording?
Yes, while we're recording.
At least 400.
Yes, I would guess it's probably around 450, because there are some episodes where I do go for two. But how do I keep the energy up?
I don't know how your heart handles it in your bladder.
The bladder, you know, sometimes when I sign off fast.
You sign off fast. You're like, thanks for listening. You're like, guys, I got to run. He runs to the bathroom. Who knows what you're doing underneath the desk there? We only see you from the waist.
I got
up.
A bucket. What do you mean? See, now we talked about it. Now I got to go. But, you know, we're running out of time. I don't know what to do. We got so many more episodes. You know what I'm going to say? From episode 350 on, you just need to go back and check them out, because I want you to go to our website. I want you to go there because every episode is archived. Go there, check them out, listen. And Matt, one last fast fact. What is our favorite storage system that each of us have?
Hands down, the Leverack system. Leverack
That's
system.
Right.
Yeah. Now and, Goldberg's all up in Leverack. He's got it all over.
And if, he does. Yeah. They went down there and set his up. And if you want to check it out, when you go to our website, they have a big banner on there, and click through, check them out. The guys at Leverack are awesome. They got to be awesome. They're from Nebraska. They're from back in my part of the country, man.
Next week, I'm not sure what Aaron's status is going to be, but I will be out next week. I will be at the Quail getting my champagne and cheese on while you're here recording, unless you're going to the Quail, Brad.
Well, Dave Merrick invited me. I will tell you this. Dave seriously said to me, he goes, Brad, why don't you come up? I said, Dave, you know, I can't. I'm so busy. And my wife's going to be gone out of town. And he goes, well, even better yet, go. And I said, yeah, I know. But what do I do with dog, you know? And Murphy can't stay alone. But he goes, I got a room for you over at the resort. I got everything. So I'm pretty bummed because I would have liked to have gone. But,
you know,
Charlotte's been planning her trip to see family, and Murphy can't stay alone, and Murphy can't go.
I don't know, a quick trip, go up Thursday, go to the Acura event, go to the Quail on Friday, and then drive home Friday night. It's not the worst idea.
Yeah, but where do I put Murphy?
Bring him with you.
Consider it. I'll consider it. You never know. I've done it before, but I'll be jealous because you'll probably be up there. I know Dave will be up there, a bunch of our other friends. But you'll bring back tales.
I will. I will definitely.
So,
yeah.
Matt? We've already said where they can find us. Where can they find you?
Moderator on social media, and Drink Bravago is the website. Thanks for you guys supporting that and giving it a try. And speaking of Murphy, we've got Bravago dog treats up there. We got hats and tees, but people seem to like the drinks, and I appreciate that. So,
and follow Aaron, his adventures in the Great White North at Aaron Hagar. On Instagram. And of course, follow me, Bradley_Fanshaw. If you need some business or life advice, go to Bradshaw Biz. And, I'm preparing for my new book and my speaking tour and everything like that. So go there and follow me and, show a little love. But hey, we do appreciate everyone who has listened to and supported Shift and Steer, the advertisers, the industry people, all of the fans, all of our family and friends. And thank you so much. 400 episodes. We're on our way to even more. So thanks again. And tell everybody about Shift and Steer. We'll be back next week. And that's a promise, not a threat.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.